To begin, I'd like to offer a song some of you have heard before. It's called Simple Truth, and I wrote it about 10 years ago when James asked me to sing a song for the Awakening Joy course for the evening that was dedicated to loving ourselves, the topic of loving ourselves. And I needed a song, and I didn't know of one, so I wrote this song. It's about loving ourselves as we are, not waiting for something to change before we grant ourselves our own friendliness.
The way I see it, there are two choices. I can wait for all these voices to tell me I have made it, or I can love myself the way I am. The way I see it, there are two choices. Try to do it their way, or find my own rejoicing music and play. I've been given a responsibility to love myself like I would love a child. Chaotic, wild, and turning, building bridges, bridges burning. Just as I am, to love me. Self-hatred protects me until the day no one rejects me. If I reject myself first, your coldness might not hurt as much. Maybe if I work harder, try more, do more, faster, longer, the day will come when I feel loved by everyone. I've been given a responsibility to love myself like I love trees. Okay, when branches crack and fall, no striving, no have-tos at all. The sparkling green that breathes me just as I am loves me. No, I do not have it all together. I never have, and I never will. And I know that you don't have it all together either, 'cause nothing here was made that way. We're all falling. We're all flying, we're all playing, we're all dying. We've been given a responsibility to love ourselves like we love freedom, using courage just to see the simple truth of you and me. Love looks like humble gratitude, like endless forgiveness. Just as we are, 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 just as we are. The way I see it, there are two choices. We can wait for all these voices to tell us we have made it, or we can love ourselves as we are.
So that's tonight's topic, loving ourselves as we are. Yeah, just as we are right now. And the Buddha taught that this is possible. And not only is it possible, but also that when we can really embrace ourselves as we are, really know ourselves well, then we can embrace others as they are. And the whole wall of critical judgment, negative judgment towards self, when that comes down, so does the whole wall of critical and negative judgment towards others. We sustain our capacity to learn. We sustain our capacity to discern. But we're so much freer without the constant barrage of critical negative judgment. So this is a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King on this topic. He says, "There should be a deep belief in your own dignity, your own worth, and your own somebodyness. Don't allow anybody to make you feel you are nobody. Always feel that you count. Always feel that you have worth, and always feel that your life has ultimate significance." So Dr. King saying there should be a deep belief in your own dignity, your own worth, and your own somebodyness. And yet in our culture, in Western culture, there are epidemic levels of self-doubt, self-aversion, and self-loathing. Well, what is going on here? There are many different reasons why we internalize and then practice self-criticism. One of many is that we learn in this culture to compare ourselves to others. And especially now in times of social media, but even before that, getting a sense of our value based on where we believe we rank has never served us as human beings. Our sense of somebodyness can come from a reflection we get from others rather than from within ourselves. And it's rampant and epidemic for all generations. So for many of us, the self can be one of the hardest places for loving kindness to initially take root. In traditional loving kindness practice, we say simple well-wishing phrases of safety, peace, health, and ease. So the practice, if you're not familiar with it, is just wishing yourself and others well-being. And well-being comes when you're safe, when you're happy or peaceful. Well-being comes when you're healthy or you have as much health as is possible. And well-being comes when enough of your needs are met that you can live with ease. So we wish ourselves and others safety and peace and health and ease. And when the Buddha was teaching about the practice of loving kindness, he wanted his students to begin where it was easiest, to begin where the sense of really warm friendliness emanating from the heart could come with the most likely accessibility. And so he began, because this was true for his culture, he began with the self. And for some of us, we're fortunate that we can easily access that sense of well-wishing and friendliness towards the self. And for many of us, it's not the easiest place to start. It's easier to start with a friend or a child or a loved one or an animal, a pet. We can find more access there. And so for us, if you find yourself in this boat, then it's wiser to start elsewhere and then move and build the momentum and then offer these phrases to yourself. But the traditional categories of beings that were taught or have been taught for centuries have been the self, and then the next kind of being would be what's called a benefactor or a mentor, somebody who you really appreciate for the guidance they've given you. And then the next category of beings would be a dear friend, offering this well-wishing to someone you love. And then the next category is a neutral person, somebody who you might see around but not really know very well. And then supposedly we've built up our momentum, and then our hearts can offer loving kindness to a difficult person, someone we wouldn't typically offer well-wishing to. And this leads to the final category of beings, which is all beings everywhere, large and small, seen and unseen. So that idea of, you know, starting where it's easy and then building up our strength is like starting with the easy weights. Well, often, not always, but often, we might find ourselves not in the easy category and not even in the dear friend category, but in the difficult person category. Buddhist teacher Thich Nhat Hanh says, "Everyone knows that peace has to begin with oneself, but not many people know how to do it." And because we don't know, we rely on whatever we learned or were able to figure out when we were younger. So including that comparison mind that I mentioned earlier, where we can be hyper-vigilant and self-judging, imagining that these qualities will help us belong or will motivate us or get us where we want to be. Asking ourselves, am I good enough? Am I doing it right? And looking for that affirmation of kindness in someone else's eyes or words or behavior. Not knowing, and this is the good news, that we can actually provide that warm, friendly sense of belonging from the inside out. It is possible. This is a quote from Buddhist teacher Sharon Salzberg. "The practice of metta," metta is the Pali word for loving kindness. "The practice of metta, uncovering the force of love that can uproot fear, anger, and guilt, begins with befriending ourselves. The foundation of metta practice is to know how to be your own friend. According to the Buddha, you can search throughout the entire universe for someone who's more deserving of your love and of tension than you are yourself, and that person is not to be found anywhere. You yourself, as much as anybody in the entire universe, deserve your love and affection." How few of us embrace ourselves this way. With metta practice, we uncover the possibility of truly respecting ourselves. We discover, as Walt Whitman put it, "I am larger and better than I thought. I did not think I held so much goodness." So, because of my own conditioning, my own history, I came to Buddhist practice as one of the many beings who did not think I held so much goodness. I found mindfulness practice in the 1990s, and I immediately knew I had discovered a really profound and healing path, and I applied myself and started going on long retreats right away. I had been practicing mindfulness for 10 years when I went on my first 8 night loving kindness retreat. And on loving kindness retreats, you're silent, but instead of only practicing mindfulness, what you're primarily doing is saying these phrases: may I be safe, may I be peaceful, may I be healthy, may I live with ease, over and over for 16 hours a day. No matter what you're doing, you're saying these phrases with the idea of kind of permeating the mind with this wish, this well-wishing practice. And you offer it for all the categories of beings. So what I discovered on that retreat was that I could feel some real momentum and sense of open-heartedness when I was offering the phrases to others. But when I was offering the phrases toward myself, it felt unfamiliar and inauthentic. I didn't enjoy it. It felt dry and difficult. So I spent most of my time offering the phrases to others, which I enjoyed. And so after that retreat, I had a meeting with my regular teacher at the time. And he said, oh my goodness. He said, I want to encourage you to go back on another long metta retreat and spend the whole 8 days just doing the phrases toward yourself. So that's what I did. Shortly thereafter, I went on another 8-day loving kindness retreat, told the teachers there what I was doing, and commenced to spending the hours offering the phrases to myself. And the first 3 or 4 days were really difficult. It was tedious. I wasn't feeling it. Sometimes retreats are challenging. That was a challenging retreat for me. This was at Spirit Rock Meditation Center. And if you've been there, you know that in the spring, the frogs are very vocal in the creek. And when dusk, right before dinner, I was sitting in the hall hearing the frogs in the creek. And I just felt so moved. There was just so much love, so much, you know, just not brought up by the phrases, but just coming straight out of my heart for the frogs. Just loved them so much. I was so glad they were there, you know. Frogs struggle. I was so glad that these frogs were thriving. And because I had been working on trying to say these phrases for myself for several days, I had the thought, I wonder why it is that my heart can so easily flood with love for the frogs, but there's a barrier to offering these phrases inward. And I realized that I'm no different from a frog. I'm no worse than a frog. I'm a creature of nature. I'm made of the elements of earth. I'm imperfect. I'm lovable the way I am. And when I realized that, like, I didn't have to change. I didn't have to wait until I became something different. Just like you wouldn't wait for something in nature to become something different to love it. That's how we are too. And so I was able to just kind of take it in, take in the possibility that I could sort of be subject and object, sort of become the loved being in nature, like a frog, and then also the one who loves. We can be both things. And the one who loves doesn't have to wait for anything. We can just love ourselves exactly as we are. Loving kindness for self isn't selfish. And it isn't narcissism. It's just caring and accepting, caring for and accepting ourselves, because we're the best ones to do that. We're the ones who are with ourselves 24/7. And if we're not doing that on a consistent basis, no one else can. We need to be our own dear friend, best support, good ally. Narcissism is a strategy of self-aggrandizing and denial and bullying that some people develop when they don't feel love. Loving kindness is actually just giving the needed acceptance and care. There are a lot of myths in our culture about what self-love is. They make it kind of scary. They're like gargoyles at the gate that can make it kind of scary to walk through the doorway of self-love. You know, there's so much conditioning that so many of us have gotten about being selfish or self-absorbed. And that's just not what self-love is. The Buddha said, one who truly loves themselves could never harm another. Because authentic self-love, when you really allow yourself just to be who you are and holding that being in kindness, immediately opens our eyes to everybody else is the same. We're all the same in this way of just being perfectly imperfect and worthy of love. This is part of a poem from Galway Canal that I feel speaks to the necessity of sending friendliness to ourselves. He says, the bud stands for all things, even for those things that don't flower. For everything flowers from within of self-blessing. Though sometimes it's necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on the brow of the flower and retell it in words and in touch. It's lovely until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. A really poignant piece of information that has come from research about self-compassion is that the subconscious human brain can't really tell the difference between a voice coming from the external world and a voice coming from inside our own head. With loving kindness practice, we can teach our minds to be our ally rather than parroting back every cruel or confusing thing it learned along the way. It's a critical part of what the Buddha called taming the mind. As we habituate loving kindness phrases, we teach our own minds how to care for us. This poem is by Daniel F. Mead. If you would grow to be your best self, be patient, not demanding, accepting, not condemning, nurturing, not withholding, self-marveling, not belittling, gently guiding, not pushing and punishing. For you are more sensitive than you know. Humankind is as tough as war, yet delicate as flowers. We can endure agonies, but we open fully only to warmth and light. And our need to grow is fragile as fragrance, dispersed by storms of will, to return only when the storms are still. So accept, respect, attend your sensitivity. A flower cannot be opened with a hammer. It just can't. All the studies that compare self-criticism with self-compassion show that self-criticism increases isolation and shutdown and slows us down in every way. We developed it because we saw it modeled. We internalized it because we didn't understand our pain. It's basically the fight, flight, and freeze response. It's the fight turned inward against ourselves. It's a strategy to manage pain. But the far more easeful and caring and ultimately successful strategy for managing our pain is bringing our love inward toward ourselves and guiding ourselves with care. So that night that I was in the meditation hall and heard the frogs and realized that I could send the care inward toward myself in the same way I could send it out to the frogs, I got up after that meditation and went down into the dinner line. And I saw that opening to loving kindness for myself deepened and broadened my love for others. I saw that we're all like frogs, absolutely worthy of friendliness, of kindness, of gentleness, of patience, just the way we are, imperfect, doing the best we can. There's a quote from John Ruskin that I like. He said, "The question is not what a person can scorn or disparage or find fault with, but what they can love and value and appreciate." There's no genius in hateful judging. There's no special wisdom in despising. The greatest wisdom resides with kindness. The confused mind likes to hate, but as Dr. Martin Luther King said, hating is a scourge and an illness. Discernment, boundaries, self-care, patience, compassionate action, perseverance. There are so many useful energies with which to meet life on life's terms, but hate isn't one of them. Here, we're learning to perceive that kindness is a hallmark of wisdom and hate is a hallmark of ignorance. Perhaps innocent ignorance, but ignorance nonetheless. And we're dispelling ignorance. Hate can have a lot of momentum and authority in the mind. If we can learn to notice and question its force, we can begin to dismantle it and replace it with wisdom and love. The famed Buddhist nun Pema Chodron says, "What you do for yourself, any gesture of kindness, any gesture of gentleness, any gesture of honesty and clear seeing toward yourself will affect how you experience your world. In fact, it will transform how you experience the world. What you do for yourself, you're doing for others, and what you do for others, you're doing for yourself." Our loving kindness practice is about deepening our capacity for authentic friendship with others, with our world, with the present moment, and with ourselves. So I'd like to close this talk with a poem from Joy Harjo, Poet Laureate of the United States and a member of the Muskoki Nation. It's called For Calling the Spirit Back from Its Wandering the Earth in Its Human Feet. Put down that bag of potato chips, that white bread, that bottle of pop. Turn off that cell phone, computer, and remote control. Open the door and then close it behind you. Take a breath offered by friendly winds. They travel the earth, gathering essences of plants to clean. Give it back with gratitude. If you sing, it will give your spirit lift to fly to the stars' ears and back. Acknowledge this earth who has cared for you since you were a dream, planting itself precisely within your parents' desire. Let your moccasin feet take you to the encampment of the guardians who have known you before time, who will be there after time. They sit before the fire that has been there without time. Let the earth stabilize your post-colonial insecure jitters. Be respectful of the small insects, birds, and animal people who accompany you. Ask their forgiveness for the harm we humans have brought down upon them. Don't worry. The heart knows the way, though there may be high rises, interstates, checkpoints, armed soldiers, massacres, wars, and those who will despise you because they despise themselves. The journey might take you a few hours, a day, a year, a few years, 100, 1,000, or even more. Watch your mind. Without training, it might run away and leave your heart for the immense human feast set by the thieves of time. Do not hold regrets. When you find your way to the circle, to the fire kept burning by the keepers of your soul, you will be welcomed. You must clean yourself with cedar, sage, or other healing plant. Cut the ties you have to failure and shame. Let go the pain you're holding in your mind, your shoulders, your heart, all the way to your feet. Let go the pain of your ancestors to make way for those who are heading in our direction. Ask for forgiveness. Call upon the help of those who love you. These helpers take many forms: animal, element, bird, angel, saint, stone, or ancestor. Call your spirit back. It may be caught in corners and creases of shame, judgment, and human abuse. You must call it in a way that your spirit will want to return. Speak to it as you would to a beloved child. Welcome your spirit back from its wandering. It may return in pieces, tattered. Gather them together. They will be happy to be found after being lost for so long. Your spirit will need to sleep a while after it's bathed and given clean clothes. Now you can have a party. Invite everyone you know who loves and supports you. Keep room for those who have no place else to go. Make a giveaway. And remember, keep the speeches short. Then you must do this. Help the next person find their way through the dark. Thank you for your kind attention. So if you have any questions or comments, they're very welcome. You can raise your actual hand or put up the little blue virtual hand. Okay. Yes, Jean.
It's not a question. I just want to thank you for.
I'm not hearing you yet.
You can't hear me?
Are you guys hearing her?
Yes.
Okay, then it's me. Hold on.
Oh.
Okay, Jean, can you try talking again for me?
Yes.
Okay, now I can hear you. Sorry about that.
No problem. It's not a question. I just wanted to thank you for that lovely teaching and just your softness and kindness and sharing has blessed me a lot. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm really glad. Well, you're invited to continue. If you have anything that comes to you that you want to say or ask, please do. And I'll just check one more time. And Nathan.
Just one question now. What might you have any suggestions for somebody who might be starting out? Learning how to love oneself.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I recommend the loving kindness phrase practice. So if you have a daily practice, just adding in a few minutes of the loving kindness practice. So the traditional phrases are safety, peace, health, and ease. So simple phrase practice like, may I be safe, may I be peaceful, may I be as healthy as possible, may I live with ease. And we repeat them like seed planting, so you don't necessarily see results right away, but practice them until they become memorized, they become easy to say, and bringing mindfulness and awareness, in particular to the heart area, and just noticing whether there's any connection, any sense of like you're really feeling it. And if there isn't, then you can build up toward it. And in fact, in a moment, I can lead us all in a brief practice like that to show you what it's like. But you can begin where it's easy, which could be, as I said before, like a loved one or a friend or a pet. And then include yourself to try to get some sense of really offering it. But if it's possible, making it a daily practice, because whatever we practice is what we deepen in our mind and heart. Yeah. Thank you so much for that question, Nathan. I really appreciate it. Ellen.
Hi, thank you for being here and everyone else sharing this. What's the difference between may I be versus I am safe? I am. Mm-hmm. And why these particular phrases, and can you make up your own that can be serving as well?
You can absolutely make up your own that can be serving as well. And that could be a really good choice. Yes. Because what we're wanting ultimately is language that we can connect with. And the reason that the traditional phrases are spoken with the may I is to give them more a sense of a wish rather than an affirmation. Because the good thing about wishes is that they can be possible under any circumstance. So, you know, I might be ill and I'm wishing, may I be as healthy as possible. You know, and then there's no sense of conflict. Whereas if I'm ill and I'm having the statement, I am healthy, then it's like, well, no, I'm not, you know? So the wish form kind of makes it, can make it sit more easily, but not always. And if you find that the may I feels fake or weird, or you just uncomfortable for any reason, it's completely fine to take that off and say I am or anything else. And it's wonderful to create your own phrases. I've had times where my phrases were just on the in-breath, I had the word love. And on the out-breath, I had the word safe. Love, safe. And that worked for me for a long time. You know, I just explored. And so if you're up for that, it's a great thing to do. So thanks for that question. Okay, anything else? Okay, well, again, if you have something to say, I hope you'll raise your hand and share it. I'd love to hear. And in the meantime, let me just lead us through a brief loving kindness practice together so that, you know, we can all do it together. And if you haven't done it before, you can get a little sense of it. So the loving kindness practice involves not only the phrases, but also visualizing. And visualizing is easy for some and challenging for others. And so if visualizing doesn't work very well for you, you can also work with just creating a felt sense of the being that you're working with. Okay, so allowing your eyes to fully or partially close, if that serves you, to go inward. And the whole intention of loving kindness practice is to incline toward well-being. So with that intention in mind, if you like, you can bring a hand to the heart or the belly or another soothing or supportive place, and just feeling that sensation of your hand can allow that to convey this sense of care that's really at the heart of loving kindness. And now bringing to mind a being who naturally makes you smile. So this could be a friend or a loved one, family member, a pet or a friend's pet, a bird outside of your window. And once you've chosen a being, see if you can create a visual image and or a felt sense of them, and spend just a few moments enjoying their company. Now, keeping this visual image or felt sense or both in your mind's eye of this being, we're going to offer them these wishes for well-being. And as you send these phrases to this being, feel into the importance of your words. Silently repeating, may you be safe. May you be peaceful. May you be as healthy as possible. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be peaceful. May you be as healthy as possible. May you live with ease. And now, keeping the image of this being in your mind's eye, add yourself to the picture so that you're seeing both this wonderful being and yourself there, and you're including yourself in your circle of care. And silently repeating, may you and I be safe. May you and I be peaceful. May you and I be as healthy as possible. May you and I live with ease. May we be safe. May we be peaceful. May we be as healthy as possible. May we live with ease. Now, letting go of the visual image, perhaps thanking the being you've been working with, saying goodbye. Inviting your awareness back into your body here in the present moment. Again, an invitation to have your hand at the heart or the belly or another supportive place. And offering these phrases into yourself, strengthening the inner dear friend, the inner wise mentor. Silently repeating, may I be safe. May I be peaceful. May I be as healthy as possible. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be peaceful. May I be as healthy as possible. May I live with ease. And lastly, allowing your imagination to travel the earth and offer these phrases to whatever beings you see, human or non-human, known or not known to you. Allowing your heart to expand and wish well to our whole family of earth. May we be safe. May we be peaceful. May we be as healthy as possible. May we live with ease. May we be safe. May we be peaceful. May we be as healthy as possible. May we live with ease. Now just taking the last couple moments here, letting go of the practice, allowing your experience to be whatever it is, and allowing yourself to be exactly as you are, if only for this moment. All right. Okay, any last questions or comments or sharings about how that practice was for you? Ellen.
I guess I'm just finding a little bit, so why wouldn't we want ourselves to be safe and peaceful and healthy and live with ease? I mean, I have a hard time thinking if you're disliking yourself that much, why you wouldn't want those things. I mean, I could see if we're saying, you know, may I love myself? May I respect myself? May I, you know, like those would be more difficult to say, I would think, for to develop a loving kindness practice. Like, is there like another step or another tier of like more challenging things to say to oneself that would really uproot the self-loathing and all that? I mean, this is so, does this really do it?
Yes, it can. And it's like I was saying before, as we work with our own, you know, we can see kind of what phrases really kind of really meet what we're needing in the moment. And so what you had brought up earlier about creating our own phrases, there is, you know, in terms of traditional Buddhism, no, those are the phrases and there aren't other ones. But in terms of more modern Buddhist practices, yes, there's wonderful work in the curriculum of mindful self-compassion, where you work with, you know, your inner core beliefs, core limiting beliefs, and then create loving kindness phrases that really meet exactly where you're needing to be met, you know? So it could be something like, I don't know, if the issue is feeling like you're not seen or something like that, then it could be something like, may I truly see myself, you know, very specific to a particular person's, where they're wanting and needing to be met. I think that, you know, for some people, like I was saying before, these loving kindness phrases they seem clear and easy, and that's wonderful. And then for other people, they're more challenging. So, you know, it just kind of depends on how they land for you. Yeah. All right. So we're going to close with the dedication of merit. Dedication means generosity, and merit means good energy. So we take the good energy that we have created just by being here tonight, doing this instead of a million other things we could have been doing. And we take this good energy and we offer it with generous hearts out, may this good energy that we've generated be for the benefit of all beings everywhere, knowing that there are so many beings right now could use even a drop of good energy, really offering it out and wishing that our efforts be for the benefit of all beings. So this song is a dedication of merit from the Pure Land tradition of Buddhism, translated from the Mandarin by Reverend Hung Shir. May every living being, our minds as one and radiant with light, share the fruits of peace with hearts of goodness, luminous and bright. If people hear and see how hands and hearts can find in giving unity, may our minds awake to great compassion, wisdom, and to joy. May kindness find reward. May all who sorrow leave our grief and pain. May this boundless light meet the darkness of our sacred night. Because our hearts are one, this world of pain turns into paradise. May all become compassionate and wise. May all become compassionate and wise. All right, everyone, thank you so much. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.